Agaves have played an important role in the Southwest for centuries, but researchers still don't know all the ways they've been used over the years. Wendy Hodson, though, is trying to figure it out. She's a senior research botanist and herbarium curator at the Desert Botanical Garden. She spends a lot of time hunting for agaves, including new species, and her work and that of her colleagues is featured in the February edition of Arizona Highways magazine. And Wendy, first off, how exactly does one go about trying to find new kinds of agaves?
Agaves are difficult to work with. They're spiny. Most of them flower during the hottest time of the year. And part of the job, too, is to document with herbarium specimens. And if you can imagine making a specimen, cutting off the leaf, cutting off all the flowers to make one of these specimens, it's a very difficult thing that many people don't do or don't do well. But I've been doing this since the 80s and looking for agaves. And I realized that certain agaves, we know that agaves were really important to indigenous peoples, but there wasn't much information on how prehistoric or pre-Columbian people used agaves.
So how do you figure out where to go looking for these?
When I first started, it was finding, just looking at a topographical map, looking where ruins were documented, but also thinking, common sense, where would I grow agaves if I was them?
Follow the people.
And looking at certain slope exposures and near permanent water. This is where people would settle. This is where people would farm. They're more water-loving crops. And then, as we found out later, the agaves on the hillsides, so in close proximity. So those would be the areas.
What have you learned about the uses for agaves, how people have used them over time?
Yes, agaves, we call them a multi-useful plant. Over 40 uses have been documented, especially in Mexico, where this group of plants is extremely important in modern day times as well. Anyways, from food, fiber, beverage, ceremonial, religious, of course, fiber, and many, many other uses.
Have you found that ancient people were cross-pollinating and coming up with new breeds or new species of agave?
That is very, very possible. One of the things that Andrew Salawan and I are looking at, not only trying to find these agaves, figuring out if they're different from other known species, but trying to understand how they came into being. Did they come about through hybridization with other species? We don't know as yet. It's very possible.
When you see an agave on a hike or, you know, when you're out looking for them, can you tell just by looking at it if it's one that you've cataloged before, one that is maybe new to science?
Yeah. Most of the time, yes. And if you spend as much time, you know, as I wandering out in the hinterlands, you do pick up the things that are common, the things that are so quote-unquote normal. And that way, then you can start picking out what's abnormal. And especially in situations where these domesticated agaves, these pre-Columbian domesticates, they're sort of the remnants of once farmed large areas of, that were farmed. So they occur as isolated little clones. And often they're with archaeological sites. Plus, I always like to say, too, there's a gestalt or a zen, you know, and looking at it, and I say, yes, that is different.
How many new types of agaves have you yourself discovered?
Right now, I'm up to six.
That seems like a lot.
Domesticates, yes. It is. And we have some more in the hopper, too.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just, and some you don't have to go way off the beaten track. Others you do. But it's really being able to look at them with a different eye, with the experience of, again, knowing what's normal and what's not normal, but also looking at the landscape.
So when you get a sample, do you try to preserve it somehow? Do you try to propagate more of them at DBG? Do you try to, you know, grow more of them somewhere and sort of repopulate them?
We do. First, we'll document them with a herbarium specimen, and we'll collect pups, too, from the population. And it's really, really important because these plants, all of the species, our domesticates, are very rare. And with the drought that's been going on, we're losing them. And it's sort of ironic that usually, you know, humans might have sometimes a negative effect on plant species, but in this case, these plants need human intervention. And because they're not getting it, they're not being taken care of anymore like the pre-Columbian farmers did up until probably the 1400s, we are losing them. So we want to make sure we bring back pups from the various populations and have them in the garden so that they can multiply. We can give them to other institutions. We can, with careful tracking, reintroduce them to into the wild. This kind of study, it's really, really big. It's really important. It makes Arizona as an important center for agave domestication, which has never been alluded to before. So instead of seeing Arizona specifically, too, as an area where agaves may or may not have been in such an important place, it's become a very important center for domestication for agaves, too.
All right. Wendy, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Wendy Hodson is a senior research botanist and herbarium curator at the Desert Botanical Garden. Her work and that of her colleagues is featured in the February edition of Arizona Highways Magazine.